Shabbos Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tes 1:9. This Mishnah picks up exactly where the previous one left off. We had said that one who wants to give his laundry to be done by a non-Jew on Friday, so Beis Shammai said it's only permissible if the work could still be done on Friday, whereas Beis Hillel and the Halacha says, no, it's not a problem at all, as long as he could finish the job after Shabbos. I mean, you're not demanding it to be ready anytime before that would be possible to be done after Shabbos. So here, Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, when it says Rabban, that's telling you he was the Nasi, and that means that his father was also the Nasi, Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel. So Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says that Nohagin Hayu Beis Abba, that in my father's home, the Nasi, Shahayu Nosin Klei Lavan Lechoves Over Kochavim Shloshi Yamim Kodim LeShabbos. In my family, our custom was that we would not give white cloth, which is very difficult to launder and takes a number of days to clean in the time of the Mishnah. So he, in my family, they would not give white garments or other, you know, fabrics to a launderer who's not Jewish unless it was given 3 days before Shabbos. The idea being that there's all the time in the world, 3 days, which is sufficient, to do the laundering of the white garments before Shabbos. In other words, Rabban Shimon Gamliel is saying that his father home was machmir like Beis Shammai, because Beis Hillel said it's not a problem to give it, you don't have to wait 3 days, and Beis Shammai would say no, if it could take 3 days, you have to give it 3 days before. So Rabban Shimon Gamliel is saying that was the custom in the Nasi's house, to be machmir like Beis Shammai. The halacha does not follow this at all. The halacha is like Beis Hillel, that one could give it even right before Shabbos, even a white garment. As for the Mishnah, you could ask the question, which is, if you recall back from Maseches Brachos, we had said the famous story that Rabbi Tarfon wanted to be machmer for Beis Shammai and lied down to recite Kriya Shema in the evening, because the pasuk says, "Uveshach b'cha," in your lying down, which Beis Shammai said means you have to actually lie down, say Kriya Shema at night. And the Chacham said, "Listen," he reported that he almost he was endangered to life and limb by some listim, by some robbers. And the Chacham say, if something would have happened, it would have been your own fault, because the halacha is like Beis Hillel, and you have no business being machmer for Beis Shammai. That's the wrong thing to do. Question then is, how come over here it's not the wrong thing to do? So there are a couple answers given. One answer is that over there it's a machlokas and pshat and a pasuk. Beis Shammai says the pasuk uveshach b'cha means you have to lie down, and Beis Hillel means says no, it's just the time that people go to bed. So it's a different pshat and a pasuk, and therefore by choosing Beis Shammai for Beis Hillel or being machmer for him, you're sort of giving credence to a different pshat, non-Beis Hillel pshat, which is disallowed. Here, even Beis Hillel would agree that the earlier you give it to the launderer, the better. Why not? I mean, it doesn't hurt to give it to him earlier, just you're not required to. And therefore, if you want to look extra naki, you want to look extra free from doing the wrong thing in the eyes of others, so that's just fine, and perhaps even, you know, perhaps appropriate if you're the Nasi, the head of the Jewish people, as was the case with Rabban Gamliel. But for the rest of us, the halacha is like Beis Hillel, there's no problem with giving it to the launderer, even immediately prior to Shabbos, like I said before. The second part of the Mishnah now reverts back to the topic we had three Mishnahs ago, which was the topic of Shvisas Kelim. And there we had said that Beis Shammai held that your stuff can't do malacha for you, even if you set it up to go into effect and work passively over Shabbos. But here we're going to differentiate between malacha d'oraisa, which Beis Shammai says cannot be done, even passively. So you can't set the Shabbos clock for the dishwasher to go on and do some malacha. Beis Hillel said, yes, you could. Shvisas Kelim is not a thing. You're allowed to have your Kelim work for you on Shabbos. But those are all, but the machlokas exists by d'oraisa. By d'rabbanan, even if the malacha is just a malacha d'rabbanan, even Beis Shammai agrees there's no din d'rabbanan that requires that you have Shvisas Kelim on a Durabanan, meaning your stuff can do passive Durabanan Malacha, that's not a problem. So the specific case here, which I'll read now, but then I'll have to explain exactly what's happening, it says, Vishavan Elu Ve'elu, they, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, agree, Shetoanin Koros Beis Habad, you are, yes, allowed to load up the beams in the oil press, the olive oil press, Ve'igule Hagas, and also the plates that are used to weigh down grapes to press out juice, those things you could do. Now, the malacha, the av malacha called dash, which is removing something inside from something else outside that you don't want. For example, dash threshing in English is taking the edible kernel of wheat from the chaff around it. So there's a toda called mefarek, to detach or to extract a liquid from its moorings, once it's attached to, is a toda of dash, and therefore squeezing out liquid, let's say squeezing out oil from an olive, or being soaked at squeezing out juice from the grape, is a toda of dash, mefarek. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, and that is a doraisa. However, the way that you make olive oil is first you press the olives quite gently, and the idea being you don't want to get any of the sediment or bits and pieces of the olive or crush it. You want just pure olive oil oozing out from the olives. So that first pressing is called in English virgin olive oil, the first time you press it, and in Hebrew it's called shemen zayis zach. Zach referring to sort of that it's clear, it's been pressed gently. So that's high quality olive oil, and that's what you want for eating purposes, you know, for high quality food consumption. But olive oil has lots of purposes. First of all, it can be sold to poor people. Second of all, it has industrial uses as a lubricant and certainly as a fuel source for lighting and heat, fire. And for those purposes, if you're using it as a, you know, as a fuel source, you have no problem with your olive oil being turbid, having, you know, bits and pieces inside of it or whatever, cloudy. Doesn't make a difference to you. So what happens is, after they do the initial pressing of the olives, which is a melacha d'oraisa, they get out as much oil as they can that won't have any pollutants inside of it. Then they'll want to get the last bits of oil, because there's a lot of oil left inside the meat of the olive, as well as in the pit. The actual olive pit, the seed, is also full of oil. So how do you extract that? What they did is they would grind it up to make like a paste. You've seen them all over Eretz Yisrael. Every archaeological site has them, these olive presses where you have like this big flat base. And then they put the olives in that base, like a basin. And then there's this very large, gigantic, heavy stone wheel. It's got like a, you know, kind of big hole running for the axle through the middle of it. And the wheel sits, it rolls in circles on top of that heavy stone basin. And as that wheel rolls, it crushes the olives to a pulp. The wheel is like pulled around by like a donkey or something in a circle. And it grinds, and turns the olives into like a pulp. Maybe the best thing you can think of pesto sauce, which is full of oil and green pulp at the same time. That's you make this sort of this olive mush, which is full of olive oil and also olive stuff. Then you take the mushed olives that are ground up, crushed, you've got crushed seeds, the pit, crushed, you know, crushed olive, everything together. Then basically you put them, you take that paste and you put it on these like kind of like, I think like the bottom of a wicker basket, like little plates. You stack them up. It's like a big, you know, things like Oreo cookie with like, you know, 10 cookies on top of each other. And then you put a massive weight to compress down on that stack of plates, like Oreo cookies, to get out all the last bits of olive oil that's stuck inside the paste, olive paste that you've ground up. So how do you get massive weight on that? So in the time of the Mishnah, already they had a technology, the base habad, the olive press, where they'd have a very long lever arm, like a long beam of wood, where they would, on the far side of that wood, they'd hang some weights, and on the near side, think like a nutcracker or something like that, this long arm to press down, or if you have like a corporate seal, something like that, if you know what that looks like. And that, essentially, you'd have this massively long lever arm with a big beam weighted down, which would be pressing down at a distance to get massive torque on the stack of Oreo cookies, what are the, you know, the filling, so to speak, is the olive pulp. And that would sit and press, and over time, gravity do its thing, and the oil would drip out. So what the Mishnah is saying is, yes, you can set that up on Friday afternoon, such that the weight continues to act on the pulp all Shabbos, and the oil continues to drip all of Shabbos. And that's okay according to Beis Shammai. It's not a problem of Shvisas Kalim. The reason why is because since you've already ground the olives to a pulp on Friday, the Malacha Doraisa of extraction has occurred. Now it's just a matter of letting gravity do its thing, letting the oil drip. And that being the case, you're only talking, it's a Derabanan to do that, for sure. But since the Doraisa is done, to set it up in a Beis Sabbat to drip all of Shabbos is permitted according to Beis Shammai and certainly Beis Hill, because although that Beis Shammai holds this problem of Shvisas Kalim, it's not relevant where the, it's not, it's permitted where the Malacha is a Malacha Durabanan, like in the case of the Beis Abad. And the same kind of thing is true for Gulei Agas. Here, essentially the same thing. You're pressing out juice from grape skins and that have already been trodden on. Similar, halachically it's similar, the mechanics are similar, the actual nitty-gritty of how you make grape juice, a little bit different, but the same principle applies. Since you're only talking about a derabanan, there's no problems as Beis Shammai, even to do it, to set it up, to let it be, the work be done on Shabbos.